new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined, as always, by the managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. And Taylor, it is April 4th, and we're like T-minus 11 days to the orange-white spring football game. Five spring practices left, including the orange white game, which counts as one of those 15 spring practices. And I think there is a prevailing theme here with this football team. You and I come on each week, we talk about, you know, questions, concerns, and it, you know, knock on wood, Texas fans, Texas has stayed healthy this spring. If they continue to stay healthy, then the prevailing theme is that the starters, if you will, the top line in the depth chart looks pretty good across the board. Offense, yeah. Defense. We're talking about depth here, Taylor. We're talking about developing depth and having a suitable replacement if one of those starters goes down.
Yeah, and that's kind of a different theme, I would say, than previous off seasons in covering Texas football, at least in recent years. I mean, there's been at least some glaring questions, right? It seems like even from the starting lineup, I feel like every off season. But the fact that the questions right now have to do with the depth, to me, shows, well, number one, it's obviously kind of a call to action for the staff that they've got to really develop that. And those guys need to be ready and bought in and ready to go once their number is called. But it does show that I feel like the program's changing. It's shifting to a different style of program that we're talking about, the positive movement in the offseason with the starting lineup. And then the questions are behind that. I mean, that's a new theme for me, Chip, I feel like. And that might be a positive theme for the future for Texas, because I think, if, as you said, if knock on wood, if everything kind of falls in line, the starting lineup stays healthy, I mean, this could be a really special team that Texas will put on the field in 2023.
Yeah, it almost makes you feel a little uneasy to talk about that for a program that, let's face it, when you combine the record of the last 2 years, it's not great. And we're sitting here talking about Texas as if it should be contending for a conference championship, but it should be contending for a conference championship in 2023. I mean, I'm to the point of saying if they're not in the Big 12 title game, it will be a disappointment because of all the good hard work that this coaching staff has put in building this roster inside out, on the offensive line, on the defensive line, developing players like Jalen Ford. And I'll start there, Taylor, with because we had a chance to talk to Steve Sarkisian today. And one of the big questions coming into 2023 is who is going to replace DeMarvion Overshown at weak side linebacker. Mm-hmm. And you've got David Benda, who's a fourth year player. You've got Mo Blackwell, who's a third year player. has been here now, you know, got here when Steve Sarkisian got here, basically. And Steve Sarkisian said both of those guys, along with Keaton Crawford, another four-year player at Texas, are playing the best football that these coaches have seen in their 3 years with these players. And this is kind of what they were saying about Jalen Ford at this time last year. Right. Oh, Jalen Ford. Watch out for Jalen Ford. He's coming. And Jalen Ford breaks out. Probably should have been Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm going to say kudos first. I'm going to give a little bit of faith here, but kudos to this coaching staff for A, keeping guys engaged, keeping the depth of the roster engaged. You've brought in Anthony Hill. You've brought in Leonga Lafau, Darian Gallette. Samaje Burrell's going to get here in the summer. But David Benda and Mo Blackwell at that weak side linebacker position, Keaton Crawford at free safety. These guys are hungry. They're pushing. They've been in the program. They were recruited by other staffs. And yet they're totally plugged in and engaged and seeing this as their time, perhaps because of the success or in part because of the success of a guy like Jalen Ford. I mean, Jalen Ford's probably doing okay in the NIL business.
Now he is.
And David Bend is a guy who has a COVID year. If he has a let's go hypothetical here. If he has a really solid 2023 season, let's say he wins the weak side linebacker job and plays at a high level, kind of like Jalen Ford, he could come back for a COVID season if he chooses. So it seems like David Bend has been here forever, but
yeah, it does.
But he's running with the ones and Mo Blackwell's rotating with him with the ones at that weak side linebacker position. And so, you know, those are three guys who, you know, and let's be honest, Keaton Crawford is getting a lot of run right now in spring football because Jalen Catalan, the Arkansas transfer safety, is still rehabbing from his shoulder surgery. So Keaton Crawford's making the most of this opportunity. They know, and Steve Sarkisian mentioned that he blocked a field goal in Saturday's scrimmage last weekend. So we know Keaton Crawford's a big contributor on special teams. He's hungry for more. We'll see. We'll see if he's able to at least work into a rotation there at safety.
Yeah, I mean, that was a guy that Steve Sarkisian has mentioned a few times now, not just on Tuesday, but he mentioned it last week too, about Keaton Crawford's development. Now with Keaton Crawford, you have to remember he used to be a corner. He moved to safety. I believe it was last offseason, last spring was when he made the move over to safety to add some depth there. So he was kind of working his way at a new position, and it probably was good for him to have a guy like Anthony Cook ahead of him a little bit so he could kind of learn from him, a guy who also was a former corner, you know, then moved to nickel before he moved to safety. And so, you know, it seems like Steve Sarkisian is not the type of coach that's going to talk openly about these type of players if they're not really showing out. He would probably avoid talking about a specific guy if they weren't really stepping up and making plays like Keaton Crawford seems to be in practice. And so that's huge because Anthony Cook, say what you will about Anthony Cook, you know, I mean, he was a guy that played a lot of football for Texas, and it's really difficult to replace experience. It's not as difficult, I think, to replace talent because Texas, they recruit at such a high level. They get some very, very high talented, high ceiling type of players, but experience is not something you can teach. It's obviously it's learned. And so I feel like this is a good sign that Keaton Crawford or anybody at that safety playing alongside Jaron Thompson is being mentioned by Steve Sarkisian, because replacing that type of experience, that veteran playmaking type of experience that Anthony Cook had that Texas lost when he left last season, is kind of left a little bit of a gaping hole. But now is Keaton Crawford's time. You're right. You bring up a good point with Jalen Catalan still on the mend from that shoulder injury that he suffered at Arkansas. I mean, this is a prime opportunity for him, and it sounds like he's taking advantage of it, which is huge. And that's really big for the secondary.
Well, and I'll give you an example of what you just said about Steve Sarkisian not just blowing smoke up a player's skirt for the sake of, you know, chatter. Mm-hmm. He was asked about Michael Taff and Jet Bush, and if they're, you know, making any kind of noise, and he said not yet, and just left it at that. So, you know, it's interesting because Steve Sarkisian, for the most part, has been pretty transparent. I mean, when he said last year that players were emerging, like Jalen Ford, Ryan Watts, he was telling you the truth. And so, you know, he's a guy who has said he likes where the offensive line is. He likes where the defensive line is. He likes the depth on both of those groups. But I do think, you know, we've written about these scrimmages so far in the spring, and a pretty steady pattern has been, well, the first team offense looks really good because the offensive line is really good, and there's a drop off with the second team offensive line. Well, there's a drop off with the second team offensive line in part because Connor Robertson, the second team center, is still not back yet from his wrist surgery rehab. And so you're working with a third team center in Sawyer Gorham Welch, and that's a significant position when you're talking about going up against guys like, you know, Vernon Broughton and Sadir Mitchell and, you know, these veteran defensive linemen, Alfred Collins, who have been in the program now, and they're also, I mean, put Alfred Collins in that same category with David Benda and Keaton Crawford and Mo Blackwell as a guy whose light is coming on in his fourth year at Texas after Moro Ojimo and Keandre Coburn have moved on. So, you know, you look at this thing and look, there's going to be the portal's going to open up again here after spring football. And Steve Sarkisian said today, there could be movement coming and going.
Yeah.
Going and coming. He said, you know, I'll sit down with all the guys after spring and talk to them about where they are, what they need to work on. And if they don't like what they're hearing, they may decide, you know what, I'm headed elsewhere. I mean, again, Steve Sarkisian has done a really nice job with his culture of hanging on to the talent and continuing to develop that talent, because the championship programs are able to keep guys and convince them. A guy like Larry Turner, Gooden at safety. Hey, your time's coming.
Right.
You know, Jaron Thompson's going to move on. Keaton Crawford's going to move on. Jalen Catalan's going to move on. Your time's coming. Just keep bringing it. And so it's going to be fascinating to see when Steve Sarkisian says the portal season, you know, there could be movement going and coming. What that's going to look like, because up to this point, he's done a really good job of hanging on to the players he's wanted to hang on to and developing those guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Texas has lost a lot of players to the transfer portal, but I would say you and I have talked about this. It seems like probably only one was one that they wanted to hold on to, and that was Hudson Card. And so, but they understood why he obviously would go and transfer. However, yeah, like, I mean, the guys that they've lost have been guys that I think when Steve Sarkisian has sat down with them after, whether it's spring, you know, or after the season, have kind of told them where they stand and what they see with them. And that's why a lot of them have moved on. So it's going to be interesting. That to me, Chip, kind of makes me think there may be some of those guys in his mind that he's going to have kind of those hard come to Jesus talks with that may lead to them leaving after spring. And that's, I kind of, reading tea leaves, I take it that way a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be the case. And so we'll keep you posted over at horns247.com. You know, you'll always get the scoop before anyone else at horns247.com. So make sure you're all subscribed up, and make sure you get an annual subscription, because that way you get access, VIP access, to all the team sites on the preeminent 24/7 sports network, the best college team network in the business. Taylor, everybody wants to know what's going on at quarterback. And I think the good news is that you just continue to hear good things about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
He's lost the weight. He's cut his hair. He's getting more comfortable in the offense. He's making good decisions. He's got a really nice receiving core to throw to. Texas put out a little social media post Monday night with some highlights from the scrimmage on Saturday. And there was Quinn Ewers throwing a nice pass to Jonte Cook. Malik Murphy had a pass over the middle, a nice pass over the middle. And you know how these are, Taylor, these highlights. Everything's intentional.
Right.
Like they're not going to put guys in the highlight reel who don't deserve it, who've been sloughing and just happen to have a good play. And so the fact that they showed, you know, Quinn Ewers and Malik Murphy completing passes, and they showed poor Arch Manning getting sacked, having a pass, having a pass broken up by Vernon Broughton. You know, Arch is the freshman learning and having to play with the second and third team offensive line and second and third team offense. But that's how you get better. I mean, you got to make quick decisions under pressure. And so, you know, from the quarterback standpoint, it's very much Quinn Ewers, Malik Murphy, Arch Manning. And
yeah,
probably should expect it to be that going into the fall.
Yeah, I had a source who was out at the scrimmage on Saturday, and one of the first things they told me was, yeah, it's pretty obvious that Arch Manning is the third string quarterback. Like there was no, this source had, you know, like was curious where the quarterback battle was. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, I know. It's almost like I've been telling you this for a while now, you know, but it's like the headlines. Everyone's talking about Arch Manning and a quarterback battle in Austin. It's like, there's no quarterback battle, maybe for second string or second team quarterback. But yeah, I mean, from everything that I heard, Arch Manning had a pretty mistake-free scrimmage. Malik Murphy, like, made some really big wow plays. One source I talked to said that there was a play where he completed the ball over the middle of the field and hit the receiver right in stride. It was just a beautiful play. That was kind of one of those like awe moments, I would say. But he was playing with the second team offensive line in front of him. Another source said there's a substantial drop off when you see the first team and the second team. So Malik Murphy was sacked a couple of times in the scrimmage too. But overall, you want to hear positive developments mainly from Quinn and Malik right now. I think if you're a Texas fan, I know there are people that want to hear about Arch Manning, and I get it. It's a, you know, a very unique recruit. Texas has had two of those now at quarterback with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning now. But the reality is you want to see the development from both Quinn and Malik Murphy and hope that Arch Manning is kind of taking notes and learning on the side and watching them prepare, watching them in their progression, their read progression, how they, you know, prepare like a pro, prepare like the starters, to then when his time does come, he's ready to go. And so Malik Murphy, any development I think that you hear from about Malik Murphy taking strides is really huge, because you know that you need two quarterbacks in college football. You just do. You will probably more times than not rely on a backup at some point in the season, and you want that backup to be, you know, serviceable and not just a massive drop off between one and two. And it sounds like Malik is at least making those strides, which is a really huge development considering he has not really had the opportunity to be a full practice participant, you know, until after spring break.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's the quarterback situation. The running back situation is, we've talked about it. It's not ideal in that Jonathan Brooks is still, working his way back from the hernia surgery. So it's been a great opportunity for Jaden Blue, for Cedric Baxter Jr., and for Savion Red. And Savion Red, because Keelan Robinson has also been limited with muscle strain. So I thought it was interesting in the little highlight reel that Texas football put out, there was Savion Redd with this massive stiff arm of Justice Finkley. And today, in talking to Steve Sarkisian, he mentioned that the physicality of Savion Redd. And I think fans just need to go to Texas Football Twitter or Instagram. Watch carefully because those clips are fast. But when you see number 17 in white shoving Justice Finkley out of his way, that's what Steve Sarkisian is talking about. And I'll continue to say it, Taylor. I don't know when Savion Redd is going to make an impact. I don't know if it's going to be in 2023 or 2024, but I get the feeling this kid is going to make an impact. He's a football player. He loves it. He's intense. He's physical. He's got great feet, and he wants to get on the field. He moved from receiver to running back to get on the field. And this kid's got, he's got some it factor quality to him. I haven't talked to Tashard Choice about all the technique and the details of, you know, just how far Savion Redd has to go. But I do know that this kid is not going to shy away from contact on blitz pickup, which is something that Bijan Robinson had to learn. He wasn't crazy about, you know, taking on a charging middle linebacker. Savion Redd, I get the feeling, welcomes that.
Yeah. Well, and he's probably more built for it too. If you look at him, I mean, I know I've told this story before, but you know, last fall camp, Chip was like, why is 17 like with the offense? That looks like a linebacker, and he was playing receiver at that point, but he's built more. Like, he's more like stout of a, you know, build. I kind of feel like, and I mean, I feel like in a sense, I'd be very curious if he turns into kind of a more utilized Keelan Robinson in the future. I'm not saying this season, but you know, a guy that can, isn't afraid of contact, a guy that's going to step in and, you know, in pass protection, and a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield too, in addition to carrying it. I mean, this could be a guy that's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife, I would say, for the Texas offense, just because his build, I think, and his skill set allows him to be. It's not putting him in a position to where he's not going to be able to do it, or he's going to have to really learn to be physical or learn to take on, you know, as you said, a charging middle linebacker. I feel like he's more established and ready to do that. And now, as you said, will it happen this year? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see his development in the future. I totally agree with you, because I think this guy could be a special weapon in a variety of ways for Texas. And, you know, maybe not in 2023, but 2024, maybe.
Yeah. And then, you know, receiver, we've talked a lot about, you know, Xavier Worthy and Jordan Whittington and then Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore and A.D. Mitchell, the Georgia transfer. And meanwhile, Casey Kane is quietly having a rock solid spring and was impressive in, I've heard he's been impressive in all the scrimmage work. I think the fire's been lit. He knows that the competition has increased, that he's fighting to keep his playing time. And, you know, Isaiah Nayer is not all the way back yet. He will be, you know, when we get to fall camp. But kudos to Casey Kane. Sounds like he has totally engaged in the battle and is having a heck of a spring.
Yeah, and that's huge too, because, I mean, obviously receiver was a question or a bit of an issue for Texas last season. And that's a guy, I think, a good example of a guy who, you know, they're adding talent. They're going even to the transfer portal to add guys to the receiver room. And he seems to be answering the call, like understands, you know, that he doesn't want to be one of these guys that could get overlooked or, you know, passed over for these other talent. And you want receiver. I feel like you really want receivers to be competitive with each other, right? Because, I mean, there's only one ball, obviously, and you just want a lot of competition, I think, in that room. I'm not sure there was much last season, Chip, because with Steve Sarkisian saying that, you know, telling us that Xavier Worthy played the second half of the season with a broken bone in his hand, and yet he still felt like he was the best option there. That shows there wasn't enough competition, not enough depth in that room. Adding these type of guys, especially a guy like A.D. Mitchell from Georgia, who has, you know, made plays at the highest level at the biggest stage in college football, I think you're hoping then for a guy like Casey Kane to really take that next step. And also, like, a guy like Jaden Alexis. I mean, you know, we haven't really talked much about him. I saw him, you know, the first day of spring practice when we were allowed out there, and he made some good plays. But when you're continuing to add this type of, like, veteran talent to a room, you want the guys that are already in the room to answer the call. Sounds like Casey Kane is, but that makes me wonder too then, Chip, where's Brendan Thompson in this mix? I mean, him, I know we've talked about going to be out because he's focusing on track, but this is a time where that kid could get overlooked, I think, quickly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and Steve Sarkisian said that it's tricky when you have dual sport athletes, but Brendan Thompson loves track. He feels like he's going to be able to always use his speed as a carrot for the coaches. You can't find that kind of speed everywhere. And so you're right, Brendan Thompson. I mean, he's going to be added to the mix along with Isaiah Nair in fall camp. And you just wonder how they're going to keep everyone happy. But that's, again, you go hire Chris Jackson from the NFL as your receivers coach. He's got to be the one to convince these players that, hey, you're getting developed here. Your time is coming. But I'm really intrigued to see if Steve Sarkisian is going to employ more of a rotation at receiver, because we didn't see that a ton last year. Like you just said, I mean, Xavier Worthy was out there with a broken bone in his hand. And maybe it's because, you know, the Jaden Alexises of the world weren't far enough along. And Steve Sarkisian definitely has guys, types, speed, you know, that he wants in the slot and that he wants out at Z receiver. And so even though Sarkisian will absolutely lose his mind if you try and pigeonhole a receiver as an X, a slot or a Z, because his receivers can do it all or they won't be on the field. So that's where the, this spring really gets interesting. How quickly, because what we're hearing is Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore are picking things up really quickly. Like Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy came in the summer. He wasn't even an early enrollee. And boom, he was a day one starter, had set all the freshman records. He totally got it. He got the concepts. He got everything he needed to convince the coaches that he could handle it. Well, we're hearing the same thing about Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore. And those two are some smooth receivers. I mean, I gotta say, this coaching staff is from the outside looking in, has done an unbelievable job in recruiting since that 5-7 season. I mean, it's been sustained momentum, and they gotta win to keep that momentum going.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about two true freshmen that were top 100 prospects coming out of high school. You're right. I mean, the staff has done a really, really good job. I think far better than most people. If you take the name off of the team, right, and you were just to say, oh, this team went 5-7 with a brand new coach, people questioning if the coach is the right guy for the job, how do you think recruiting went the following 2 years? People would be like, oh, man, he's got an uphill battle. But he has, and they've answered, and this is huge. I mean, you've got to sustain it too. You can't just have one good recruiting class. You can't just have two even good recruiting classes. You need to stack those ones. And Steve Sarkisian understands that. A lot of the staff understands. I mean, these are guys that have coached at, you know, top SEC programs, coach all over the country. Some guys have coached in the NFL. They understand that you have to continue to build and not just develop the guys that you have on the roster, but be looking at what type of guys you want to bring in to develop for the future too. And they've done an exceptional job. I think Kyle Flood probably has done the best, arguably, I would say. I mean, my goodness, he said he'd never relied on two true freshmen in his career, and he had to do it, and they played really well, you know, in the 2022 season. That's a prime example of the type of development that these guys, these coaches have brought to Texas, and they're able, you know, the more these type of guys get on the field, the more it's going to help the future of recruiting too, because they have an example. They're not selling an idea. They're actually showing a physical living example of the development that they offer to talented prospects. And it's a hard, I don't care what, how much money you put in front of these kids and NIL money, that's a hard thing to overcome, especially when you are a place like Texas that also has the NIL support of a pretty wealthy alumni base to help out too. I mean, it's, you know, the future's bright, I would say, under this staff right now. And the expectations are going to come with that bright future. And I think it's going to start this year, because I agree with you, Chip. I think if it's a Big 12 title, if they don't make the Big 12 title game, I feel like that's going to be a disappointment, as long as there's not like some devastating type of injuries across the board. Like, I think that you have to give some sort of leeway when substantial injuries happen, especially at key positions. So barring something like that happening, if Texas isn't in the Big 12 title game, you know, I think it's going to be a letdown for the staff and the team, but I still think the future's really bright. I don't know. Yeah. This is it's a different program that we're covering. I'll say that. I've never seen this type of team in my time covering Texas, and I've only covered the down years, I know, but this is different, and that's a good positive development, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. Even the 09 team that went to the national championship, their leading rusher that year was Trey Newton, who ran for about 550 yards, ended up leaving football a year later because of concussions. The offensive line, no, outside of, well, Tony Hills was already gone. No draft picks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not trying to get everybody all lathered up here, but there's a lot of promise. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Change is in the air here in Austin, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, elite level talent, top running back in the nation, Cedric Baxter Jr. After having the top running back in the nation and Bijan Robinson, Jonte Cook, top receiver in the nation in the 2023 class, Malik Muhammad, top corner in the nation in the 2023 class. I mean, you start Arch Manning, top quarterback in the nation, top player in the nation. You start, you know, pulling in recruiting classes like that, those guys develop a bond with each other, and they want to see it through together. Yeah. So far so good, because that's the kind of culture that we're hearing for Steve Sarkisian. All right. Wow. That's a lot of Kool-Aid.
Normally we're called haters, right? Normally it's you guys are haters. You hate Texas.
Hey. And we're not trying to set up anybody for the okie doke here. This, I mean, I've been at this for a while. Taylor's got a healthy skepticism and cynicism already in her
jaded journalist.
Right. Okay. You know, we always joke about being the jaded, you know, trying to look out for the Texas fan base so that they don't get that whiplash of having these great expectations and then having it all, you know, have a piano drop on their heads. But Taylor, before we get to love it or leave it real quick on Texas baseball, they had the 15 game winning streak with some well-scheduled lesser opponents after that start against SEC competition when Texas went 0-3 against Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. And then they you know, were 4-7, and then boom, they played a bunch of Mercers and Manhattans and North Dakota States and piled up the wins, but it worked. They built their confidence as a team. They swept Texas Tech. And then they went on the road to Oklahoma State and they won game one. Lucas Gordon's been fantastic. They lose game two. I don't know if you pronounce it Jaron or Jaron. But Jerron Watts Brown for Oklahoma State, 12 strikeouts. The guy was locked in, 8 innings, 3 hits. They ran into a red hot pitcher. Then in game three, this is the one that you got to kind of focus in on. They had the lead going into the bottom of the ninth, and they were up 3-2. They bring in Zane Morehouse, who was a starter, moved to the closer role in mid-March, and he suffers his first blown save of the season. So you got to watch that. You got to see how Zane Morehouse responds to that, because he got a line out for out number one, and then he walked a couple batters. He gave up a single, then he walked a couple batters, then he threw a wild pitch that allowed a runner to score, and then he gave up an RBI walk-off single that ended the game. So not bad. I mean, it was bad that they blew the save, but they were in position to take two out of three on the road at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State picked got first place votes, picked right behind TCU to win the Big 12 this year. So Texas still showing some positive results, but you got to keep getting better. And Zane Morehouse had been a plus for them. And then now it happens to everybody. It happens to every closer, but you just want to watch and see how he responds to that, because they did take him out of the starting rotation to move him into that closer role when Chris Stewart wasn't able to, kind of settle in and really command that closer role. So, just something to keep an eye on. All right, Taylor, are you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
I am. Before we get, to Love It or Leave It, we're going to take a really quick break, but stay tuned. We have more football talk coming up. We'll be right back.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network, covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
All right, Chip, my first Love It or Leave It for you. Ready?
I'm ready.
I already got it on screen, so you better be ready. Love it or leave it. You are ready to add cornerback Malik Muhammad to your list of true freshmen who will make an immediate impact in 2023.
I'll tell you what, Taylor. I mean, there's a lot of competition at that field corner position, where, you've got Gavin Holmes, the Wake Forest transfer. You got Terrence Brooks. You've got Malik Muhammad, but I'll tell you what, and Xavion Bryce, remember Austin Jordan has moved to nickel. He's backing up Jahdae Barron while Jalen Gilbo continues to rehab from offseason knee surgery. But Malik Muhammad, I keep hearing this guy is around the ball. And so I'm real close, but I'm going to leave this for right now because I want to see what he does in the spring game. I want to continue to hear, what's going on in the summer and how hard he's working, but I'm real close to loving this, but I'm going to leave it for right now. But Taylor, I'm hearing a lot of good things about number 5, Malik Muhammad. How about you?
Okay. I think I'm going to leave it too, just because I feel like of the newcomers, Gavin Holmes probably has a little bit of an edge, I would say, over Malik Muhammad, being a guy that's been at the college level before. Terrence Brooks, you know, has been a guy that's made strides, you know, coming along. So I'm not going to say, I'm not leaving it because I don't think Malik Muhammad could be the immediate impact true freshman in 2023. I agree with you. I just kind of want to see it a little bit more. And I also think that there's a lot of guys, options available, right, that he is competing with that already have playing experience at the college level. So that would make me a little bit hesitant to say it's going to be an immediate impact. But who knows? I could be wrong. We just haven't seen a lot. It's hard for me to make those claims if I haven't seen them in live action too. So I'm going to leave it for now.
If the question was, he will make an impact.
Yeah.
I would love it. This kid is going to be a star. The question is he going to be a star in 2023?
Right.
He may well be, but right now I just want to see a little more. And so, all right, love it or leave it, number two.
Second one, love it or leave it. No matter what Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter get accomplished this spring, the running back position battle won't start until Jonathan Brooks is fully cleared for fall camp.
I mean, I think I'm going to love this. It's not, Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter don't want to hear this, but I think Jonathan Brooks has been in the program. He learned from Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson. And I think he's going to have something to say when he's fully cleared and in fall camp. And so I'm gonna love this. And that's not to say that Jaden Blue and CJ Baxter haven't done some good things, because you continue to hear good things about Jaden Blue. He's explosive, especially on the perimeter. He's really good catching the football and making things happen. CJ Baxter, more of that pounder up the middle. And if you watch the highlights on that little clip that Texas Football put out on social media, you saw BJ Allen force a fumble by CJ Baxter. But then they came back with a highlight of CJ Baxter with a really good cutback run in between the tackles. So, you know, there was a good play. They wanted to give some sugar to BJ Allen, but they also didn't want you to think, oh man, that was CJ Baxter fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
You know? So they gave him a good play too, because he has had a really good spring. But anyway, yeah. I'm rambling, but I will love this. Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it too. And I agree. It's not necessarily a knock at all on Jaden Blue or Cedric Baxter. I think that Jonathan Brooks has earned himself an opportunity to be the lead guy. And I think that the staff would probably agree with that. Just because, I mean, I know he played a lot of garbage time in some of the games in 2022, but still, I mean, this is a kid that averaged 6.6 yards per carry, had 5 rushing touchdowns, had his first 100-yard game against Kansas, where he averaged almost 10 yards per carry in that game. I mean, he's done enough to where I feel like he should be given the opportunity to be the number one guy. And just because he's been dealing with, you know, rehabbing from a hernia surgery shouldn't set him back in that, unless the hernia itself did set him back from a play perspective, you know, playmaking perspective. I just think that, I mean, the fact alone, he played through the whole season with that hernia and refused to get surgery until right after the bowl game, because he did not want to miss any playing time, any game action that he might possibly get as a third string or fourth string, however you want to frame him for last season running back. I mean, he's earned the opportunity to come back in and win that first string job ahead of Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter. And I think he has the talent to do so. So yeah, I'm definitely going to love it. Again, not a knock on Jaden Blue, Cedric Baxter. They're both really talented. I had a source talk about Cedric Baxter and how shifty of a runner he is. Was in the scrimmage on Saturday. He did say he runs a little too upright, and he's got to get probably hit in the mouth once before he's going to change that by somebody. But yeah, I mean, those are two really talented guys. I just think Jonathan Brooks has earned the right to be in the mix too, and not be overlooked because he waited a whole season to get surgery in the off season. So yeah, I'm going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. All right. Love it or leave it. Number three.
Final one for you. Love it or leave it. You're excited Texas will have more of a game format for the orange-white game because the team has more depth this year.
You know what? I don't really care. I mean, I just want to see players make plays, whether it's in situational scrimmage stuff like they did last year. I mean, I guess it's easier to follow for fans and you get a winner and a loser, but sometimes they move players to both teams. It gets kind of weird. I just want to see players make plays, if that makes sense. So I'm not excited. So I'll leave this. I just want to see players make plays. I don't really care what format it's in. Let me see some plays. Let me see some players make some plays. How about you, Taylor?
Man, I thought you were going to love it. That's why, because I was going to leave it too. Because, I mean, I think I've made it pretty clear. Spring games are the biggest. It's a glorified practice that we're watching. And honestly, like last year, I didn't even watch the spring game because I had my sister-in-law's wedding that I was in Mexico. And I was like, thank you, Emily, for scheduling your wedding on the day of the spring game because I didn't have to cover it. I know. It's awful. It's awful. No, but yeah, spring games are just kind of boring. I don't really care what format they're in. I feel like in years past, a lot of times I'm like, how did they get points? I don't understand the scoring of this because it was like weird scoring at some point. Like when Mac Brown was the coach, I could never figure out how the hell the defense got points on things. Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. So yeah, I'm going to leave it. Actually, I'll just say I love it because I'll be different than Chip. I agree. I don't really care what the format is, to be honest.
Hey, we're just excited to see some football.
Exactly. Playmaking.
That's right. That's right. April 15th.
We'll be there begrudgingly. Just kidding. Oh. I'm teasing. Totally kidding.
Yeah. I'll take football in any format. You tell me. Yeah. I can watch them practice in the parking lot. I'll go, you know, and football season never ends here at Horns 24/7, especially heading into a season where there's some anticipation.
Yes.
That Texas might be playing for something more than a winning record, for crying out loud. Hopefully playing for some hardware like our man Rodney Terry, who's been on the recruiting trail, Taylor. I know he was up after his press conference, his introductory press conference. He went straight to Dallas and talked to Texas signee Ron Holland and the number one player in the 2024 class, Trey Johnson, shooting guard from Lake Highlands. So Rodney Terry getting his recruiting on. We'll see how all that fleshes out. We should have some intel for you. Maybe even in the insider this week, you know what I'm saying? But certainly on the flagship podcast, you know, next week. So thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the flagship podcast, and make sure you're hanging out over at Horns 24/7 because the insider does come out on Thursday and get you all the scoop. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.